Good afternoon, Central Iowa, and welcome back to another episode of Central Iowa Today. I'm your host, Zach Tomish, and today we're joined with two gentlemen from the Marshalltown Fire Department. We got Fire Chief Christopher Cross, and we've got our Fire Marshal, Josh Hornell. How you guys doing today?
Great. How you doing?
Doing well.
Doing good.
Appreciate both of you guys making some time and chatting with us. We were just kind of talking a little bit before we came on air just about showing up to a fire and what that all kind of entails. So, Chief Cross, I'm going to just kind of hand it off to you here. What, you know, we talk about when training lifeguards, we size up the scene, right? Yeah. That's the very first thing we do. So when you guys, you know, you get there, you size up the scene, what is kind of the protocol and what are the priorities for the team of firefighters there?
Sure. Before we even arrive, the early detection and early notification to 911 is super important. The faster that we can be notified of a problem, because we're a career fire department, we're always in the station, always on duty. Doesn't mean we're always available and not doing other things. But the sooner that we can get alerted and the sooner we can arrive early enough in the timeline, even though we're arriving with maybe not as many people as we would like to, according to NFPA or whatever, we can talk about that after, in a little bit. But it really ensures the best outcome for the structure and the victims and the neighborhood if we can get there as soon as humanly possible and then start working. So some of the things that we look for when we arrive, we have to figure out what's on fire, obviously. Figure out where it is, get there, start looking at like visual cues of what's happening, reading the smoke. You know, the smoke will tell us where the fire possibly is, what's on fire, whether it's contents or the structure itself, how much heat, if the smoke is under pressure, it means there's a lot of trapped heat, and the pressure gradient between inside and outside, there's a disparity there. Access, cars in the driveway, time of day, weather, all those things factor into the first arriving incident commander making a good solid decision very, very quickly, placing lines aggressively, and then applying power to the problem to bring it under control. The company officer needs to get off the truck and walk around the house to see what's going on the backside. We like to look to see if there's a basement. If so, is it involved? Yes or no, because we don't want to crawl out over the floor and fall into the basement and die. That's always a bad deal. And then the company officer will make their assignments, and typically we're establishing a positive water supply at the hydrant and stretching lines from the truck across the yard and into the house to deal with the problem inside.
Yeah, so in Boy Scouts, we were always kind of taught when training and learning about fire, if there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, is that kind of the same philosophy that you guys have?
Sometimes. when we're selecting the appropriate strategy to deal with something, we have about three different modes that we can be in. It's defensive conditions, meaning that there's fire from stem to stern, and we're not going to commit anybody to the building because everything inside and the structure is lost. And that way we'll stay outside and lob water with large caliber streams. The offensive strategy is aggressive, and that's what I kind of described to you just a little bit ago. We're establishing the hydrant, and then we're stretching across the yard going inside. And then we're going to the scene of the fire and searching as quickly as humanly possible, because everything gets better when you put the fire out. And then there's the nothing visible mode, where everybody gets off the piece of equipment, and then we go inside to investigate to see what's going on. The determining factor of whether or not we're going to pull a line from the truck is the smoke condition. If it's not something where you think you're going to need to pull a line, then we take a water can with us, and we can probably deal with what it's most likely rubbish or food on the stove or something of that nature. But if it looks like it's on fire and you think you're going to need to pull a line, then that's an offensive fire.
Okay. All right. So also with us, Josh Hornell, the Marshalltown Fire Marshal. Josh, we know that Chief Cross came up in different fire departments. What's your kind of background? Did you start out as a firefighter as well?
I started my career as a volunteer up in Gladbrook. So minimal experience up there, and then I became a full-time fireman here. Yes.
Okay. So when people are, you know, battling these fires, you're inside the building. I mean, is it – I sit in the sauna. I try to do, like, 20 minutes in the sauna a day. And that, I mean, that's a lot. That's very, it's got to be worse than that. It's 200 degrees in the sauna. It's got to be way worse than that in there.
So with the gear we wear, what you're trying to, you envelope yourself in a safe package, basically, which raises your body temperature, of course. But the gear we have is meant to kind of repel some of that heat off of you. It will fail at one point, but that's to maintain your kind of self-climate inside. During the summer times, yeah, you can. You start sweating. It gets really hot, so we have to be very mindful of trying to recycle guys in and out, make sure they're hydrated. Wintertime creates some different variables in there, so it's not so horrible when you sweat during that, but it can cause a problem when you go back outside and you start freezing, though.
Okay, and I mean, you guys are probably got water on scene for firefighters to try and cool off. But what is that rotation kind of like?
It just kind of depends. Like Chief said, you know, we're working with 6 to 8 guys, so the work needs to be accomplished. So we try our best to recycle them. We'll do callbacks, so some of the off-duty guys will come in, and we can use those guys to rotate in and out and accomplish the task after that point.
The limiting factor for us when we're inside doing firefighting with our air packs on and we're encapsulated in our gear is how much air we can carry with us. So our air bottles are, depending on how hard we're working, it's about a 45-minute bottle. So we can be in the hazardous conditions for about 45 minutes before we got to come back out and swap bottles empty for a full. And when we do that, that recycling of the bottles is when we'll catch a drink of water, take a breather, see how we're progressing during the incident, recalibrate if we need to, like, reevaluate what we're doing, adjust our actions, and then go back to work. So it's about 45 minutes. If you're working hard and it's very strenuous, obviously you're going to consume oxygen and air quicker. So it could whittle down to, you know, 35 minutes. 30 minutes maybe.
Yeah, you got to get out of there. You can't just go to 45 minutes and then I'm out of air.
Well, you can. Well, you have to do air management, you know, air in, especially if we're traversing a long way from the entry point to wherever the problem is. In the case of a big box store, you know, you think about the square footage of a mega sized Walmart.
The hospital.
Or the hospital. It's a perfect example. If it takes a long time to get in and you're on air, then you have to be cognizant of how much you're using on the in. We have to be able to manage and budget enough air to do the problem and then to get out.
Right. Yeah. So I think, like, scuba diving, they always taught us, you know, you only use 1/3 of your tank going out, so you got 2/3 coming back.
Yeah, that's a perfect an example of exactly the types of air management thoughts we have. Oh, geez. Sorry.
You kind of have to be cognitive, too, of... It's like exercise. So the harder you're working, quicker that bottle's going to drain down. Right. So muscle memory is a big thing. Is by repeatedly wearing the pack and working in it, you start learning how to control yourself so I can get the most time out of my bottle.
Yeah, very cool. Interesting that you guys, what you guys do, putting your life on the line for us to keep us safe every day. You shrug it off a little bit.
Well, it's not me. I'm a chief, and I'm
your team.
It's the guys, the guys that actually hop on the rigs, and they arrive in the dead of night, decode the problems, and go in and deal with it. Those are the real guys that are doing hero work. You know, we're just lucky to be on the team.
Yeah. So real quick, we're in the middle of open burn, but something that's going to pop up. Recreational fires. Anything you want a quick comment about recreational fires?
Yeah, we've gotten some phone calls as to what constitutes a recreational fire, and it's anything that's outside of the house. That, you know, seasoned firewood is always the number one fuel to burn. If it's on the ground or in a fire pit, it needs to be, you know,
I think 25 feet.
Not less than 15 feet.
15 in a container,
yep.
And then when you get on the ground, I believe it's
50. Yeah, that's 50. That's right. I'm looking it up right now on the old iPhone. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's at marshalltown-ia.gov if people want to look actual ordinance and talks about recreational fires. But
no burning on holidays. That's a big thing. The ordinance doesn't allow any burning on holidays. And if you're going to be burning outside for any reason, please be present. Please have a method of extinguishment with you. And if we happen to show up at your doorstep because of the fire, just be cool and let us come check it out. And
the burning season does end June 30th this year too.
So. Oh yeah, June 30th is the closeout.
Yeah. All right. Well, Fire Marshal Warnell, Fire Chief Cross, appreciate both you guys stopping by and always just give us a little insight today on what it's like showing up to a fire. So thank you.
Good to be with you. Thank you.